In the name of Jesus, amen. My dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we're observing Epiphany of our Lord. It's a festival day. It's a celebration that remembers the time when the Star of Bethlehem led the wise men to the infant Jesus. This was a monumentous event. It revealed early on, even in Christ's infancy, that his coming was not just for the people of Israel, but also for the Gentiles. This is why Epiphany is sometimes called the Gentile Christmas. This is good news for me. It's good news for you and for all the people around us who need the light of Christ, the light of the gospel as much as you and I do. And it's St. Matthew who tells us about the Magi. It's an important part of the birth story for Matthew, partly because it was all prophesied about in the Old Testament, and partly to remind his Jewish readers that Israel's Messiah came for all, not just for a chosen few. The Magi were the first Gentiles, the first worshiper Gentiles of the Messiah. Until then, the only ones to worship Jesus were Israelites. We had a group of shepherds in a field outside of Bethlehem. Last week we heard about Simeon and Anna in the temple, but the Magi were most likely Persians from Babylon. They were uncircumcised pagans from the east. So you could say that the first Christmas was for Israel. The second Christmas was for the world. But that was God's plan all along, wasn't it? He was going to redeem the whole world, all the nations, but he was going to do that through a particular people, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Lord told the patriarch Abraham way back that he was going to bless him, that he was going to make him a great and mighty nation, make him a blessing so that in him, that is, through his seed, all the nations and families of the earth would be blessed. God was planning to do the universal through the particular, through the specific. And so the Messiah of Israel would bring salvation not just to the Jews only, but to the Gentiles too, which includes you and me. The Magi had come from the east to Jerusalem, guided by a star. They were probably court astrologers. They were night sky gazers who studied the stars. They would have looked to the stars for signs. And the star that caught their attention, they interpreted to be a king's natal star, announcing the birth of a king. The shepherds of Bethlehem, they heard their announcement from an angel. But these Magi, on the other hand, heard their birth announcement of the Jesus in their own language, so to speak. Not an angel, but by a star that guided them from the east to Jerusalem. You could say those who sought enlightenment by the stars were now being led by a star to the true light. By a star, they were guided to the true Sun of righteousness. The Magi saw the star and concluded that a great king had been born. And so they got out their gifts, put together their provisions, and made their journey across the desert. And their first stop was Jerusalem. I mean, if a king of the Jews was to be born, it made sense to check in at Herod's temple first in Jerusalem. Yet King Herod didn't have a clue, did he? And neither did the chief priest or the scribes. that the Messiah King had been born. The announcement that the Christ had been born came to them not by heavenly messengers, but ironically from the mouths of pagan astrologers. The Magi came to worship the king and needed to know where to find him. And the answer to their question was no surprise to those who studied and knew the scriptures. Herod didn't know, but the chief priests and the scribes knew. They knew that the prophet Micah wrote some 700 years earlier, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Bethlehem. That was the birthplace of King David, the shepherd king. It was the place where they raised the lambs for the temple sacrifice. Bethlehem's name means house of bread. And so it is in Bethlehem that the bread of life is born. King David's promised descendant, the good shepherd, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Bethlehem finds its ultimate purpose in Jesus. So off to Bethlehem the Magi go, and the star reappears and it guides them to the little house where they find a young mother with her little child. And they fall down and they worship him. The little child, they worship and give gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. The Word and the star are the guides. God reaches out. He wants the whole world to know about Jesus. He wants the whole world to come and worship him. So he gives them signs to follow. A star in the eastern sky. And he gives them a prophetic word. And through word and star, they come to Jesus, to a little child. And they fall on their knees and they worship him. They worship this little 2-year-old kid. Shepherds knelt before his manger, and now Magi bow in humble adoration before him. And he didn't look like much of a king, and his mother didn't look much like royalty either. There was no halo shining around his head. He looked no different than any other toddler in Bethlehem. Yet through the word and through a star, God opened the eyes of the Magi, making them wise beyond their wisdom, revealing the marvelous mystery that this child was a king unlike any other. And they came with gifts, with gold, frankincense, and myrrh, costly gifts, the finest things that they had to offer this humble little child. And they worshiped him as a God, for God he is. You know, you could make too much or too little about these gifts that the Magi offered. They were most likely just the most valued, treasured things that they have, but you can't help but think of the symbolic value that these treasures had. The gift of gold, a present fit for a king. Incense, usually offered to gods in sacrifice. And myrrh, a resin associated with burial. We have here the God King who came to die. And in their own symbolic way, the gifts proclaim who this child is and what he has come to do. The gifts they bring with which to worship him, these fulfill a prophecy about the Gentiles coming to Israel's light and bringing with them their treasures. Listen to what Isaiah writes in his chapter 60 in his book. "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. And they shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. This prophecy is fulfilled right here in the coming of these Gentile wise men, led by the light of a star and bringing their gifts to him. So what does all this mean for you and me? What is the significance of this epiphany? Well, in the first place, my friends, it means good news for us. For we were those Gentiles, those pagan nations that Isaiah wrote about, sitting in darkness. Christ has come and he's shattered the darkness of our sin and our death. Your sins and my sins plunged us into deep darkness. And you could find no way out, and neither could I. But Christ came, and he took all of your sin and my sin, your ignorance of God and my ignorance of God, your rebellion, my rebellion, your lostness and your death. And Christ Jesus bore all that burden on his shoulders as he made his way to the cross. The one whom the wise men came seeking, the one born King of the Jews, would bear that title again when a placard saying Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, was mockingly placed over his head on a cross. The Messiah of Israel wins the salvation of the world by suffering and dying for all of the world's sins, including yours and mine. And on the third day, that same Jesus rose from the dead, bringing life and immortality to light through the gospel. The good news that has been preached now around the world to all the nations, Jesus Christ truly is the light of the world. And this, my friends, is a great mystery, a great and wonderful, wonderful mystery. The mystery who is Christ, hidden from the ages, revealed by the Spirit through the holy apostles and prophets. This mystery that the good news of Jesus, the Gentiles are co-heirs together with Israel in one body of Christ. The outsiders are now insiders. Those who stood outside of Israel are now in the presence of Israel's last and greatest king, the promised son of David. This is that great mystery of which the apostle Paul writes about in Ephesians, how the Gentiles are now fellow heirs with Israel of the promise of salvation in Christ. The first Christmas was for the Jews, the circumcised, the Israelites, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But this Christmas is for the Gentiles. Those who were once not God's people are now God's people by the grace of God in Christ. They have become the people of God. And that includes you and me. You and I are much like those astrologers from the East. You've been guided to the Christ child by a word and by a sign. Word and sacrament. God has shined the light of his word into the darkness of your sinful hearts, once alienated from God and lost. But Christ, the morning star, has dawned for you in his Spirit, by his Spirit, and has been guided you to the house where God's child, his king, is hidden for you under the signs of water and his word and bread and wine. As real and as tangible a presence as that little child at the virgin's feet. like the wise men with faces to the ground, humbled before him who is the wisdom of God. Every throne and power of this world will eventually bow down to the King of Kings. There's a coming day when every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess Lord Jesus Christ to the glory of God the Father who sent him. And as those wise men knelt before the lowly Christ child and worshiped him, even though his glory and divinity were utterly concealed, so we too bow down and worship the same Jesus, concealed and revealed for us in the word preached, in the bread and the cup, trusting as the wise men did that God is true to his word. Epiphany reminds us how privileged you and I are as baptized children of God. For we too, you and I, have been guided to the place where we might bow down and worship our Savior. Here is your Bethlehem, the house of bread, where Christ manifests himself to you personally. You've come to Bethlehem today, where God's Son Jesus, who is Lord and Christ and Savior, is here to receive you, to wash you, to feed you, to forgive you, and to send you out as lights into the dark world that he died to save. So let your lights shine before others. You have his word. You have his spirit. You are a beacon of Christ to this world. So shine in the name of Jesus. Amen.